Good morning and welcome to church today. Unfortunately, I got COVID earlier this week, but thankfully I'm totally vaccinated, so my symptoms were pretty mild and I'm fine now. But I wanted to be extra careful with everybody here at the church. Since I didn't want our other pastors to have to like rush preparing a message and get all flustered, I'm coming to you digitally. Max Headroom style. Sorry, young people, that's an old folk reference. Today, let's just pretend that we're like a satellite campus, you know, like those big churches do. And I can't wait to hear the feedback about how this kind of goes and what it's like for you guys watching a message digitally. So let's get to it. And we're going to start this morning like we always do. We're going to start out with our shouts. What do? We love God and love others. And what do we say? I love God and I love you. Amen, amen, I do love you. And I'm so glad that we could shout out even digitally. Thanks for all you shouting back as usual. That's a little kind of weird responding to a video, don't you think? I guess, I don't know, it's not any weirder than telling Siri thank you. Has anyone else done that? Siri gives you the right answer and you're like, oh, thank you. Not even thinking that you're talking to a computer. Or does anyone else talk to their devices, especially the Google Maps direction lady? She says, turn right, turn right. And after the third turn right, I'm like, okay, I got it. You don't have to tell me 10 times. Get frustrated with the Google Maps lady. How weird is that? I mean, what a strange time we live in with devices and COVID and this video sermon and all sorts of life coming at us 100 miles an hour. I mean, life could be overwhelming. It could be full of changes and uncertainty and worry sometimes, which is one of the reasons why I've really enjoyed this series, Rays of Hope, so much. And today, I get to share a particularly powerful word from God found in Romans chapter 15. Here's the whole of it. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the last 3 or 4 years, this has been my heart's verse. I need this verse every day. I want to experience this verse actually. Like, I want it to be my reality. It's like sweet, soothing music to my soul. When I read it, it causes the corners of my mouth to turn upward, and my heart feels a little lighter when I sit in this truth. So let's take some time together this morning and explore it in a bit more depth. Here's how it starts. May the God of hope. You see, hope comes from God. God's the source of hope. He's the author of hope. He's the holder of hope. And he's the bestower of hope. But not in a nebulous sort of, I can't quite touch what that means sense. But in a very real sense. He sent Jesus to provide for our eternal salvation. To give us the free gift of restoration to God. No matter what we've done. No matter who we are. No matter what kind of life that we've lived, he has provided eternal salvation for us. Hope tells us that something better is coming. Something great is in the works. There's no greater hope than Jesus' words, which say, I go to prepare a place for you. Or the reminder that those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, we have a future hope. We have a hope that is outside of this lifetime. Additionally, though, the God of hope gives us a reason, a real purpose for living. The actions and decisions on this planet, they matter. I matter to God. So as I direct my attention to him, I find his hope giving greater meaning to life. God allows me to partner with him, if you can believe that. Let's work the first section of this verse backwards, and I think it'll show what I mean. The first section says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. So working backwards, it says, as you trust in him, the God of hope will fill you with joy and with peace. So I have a part in all this. But it isn't to get my own peace and joy. It's not for me to manufacture, to study for, or attain my own peace and joy. But rather, it's to turn open-hearted and open-handed to the God of hope and trust him to bring joy and peace. But here's the thing. I'm not good at trusting God. You know what I am good at? I'm good at worrying. No, I'm great at worrying. I'm good at trying to figure it out on my own. I'm good at trusting my own abilities and thoughts. I'm good at creating my own path. But trusting God, that's much harder. I don't know why, but we always think that we can do it better than even God. How arrogant of us. But you know what? I'm going to say, nah, I'm not going to do it that way. Because every time that I trust my way and trust my thoughts, things go awry. Perhaps it's high time that you and I trust God rather than trust ourselves. But that's a difficult thing, to release control and to admit that it's not me and to trust God. But I think it's worth a shot. Because joy and peace only come from the God of hope. They are the result of hope experienced. They're the work of God, received by us individually as we trust God to fill us with his hope. Now, in our passage this morning, there are two pronouncements regarding hope in the verses that we've seen already. And I want to just go over those two pronouncements of hope, which are, this morning, our rays of hope. So the first is, hope fills you. And the second is, hope overflows from you. So hope works internally, and then hope pours out from within. So hope fills, and hope overflows. First, we're going to look at hope filling us. It fills us with what I was just saying a little bit earlier, with joy and peace. And the crazy thing is, aren't these two things exactly what you need right now in your life? By a raise of hands, who could use a bit more joy and a bit more peace in their lives? That's right. See your hands. See your hands. You know what? Me too. Joy and peace are key to living life in balance and living life well. And many people want happiness. They want to live great lives. Now, nearly every parent would say that I want my kids to be happy, which is a wonderful sentiment, and it's a great wish. But we must properly direct them to the source of that. Not only direct them, but direct ourselves. So think about this. If I offered you an entire life filled with joy and peace, is there a much better offer in the world? Is there anything that would top that than a life full of joy and peace? Like sometimes an offer is seen clearer when you look at the opposite of the offer. Have you ever lived in the opposite of joy and peace? Many of us have. Ask anyone in the process of getting a divorce what the value of peace is. Peace in your household. Peace in your emotions. Peace in relationship. Ask anyone dealing with depression or guilt what the value of joy and peace would be. the epidemic wave of suicide could be mitigated if those hurting and struggling could live in this reality of joy and peace. Ask any parent whose kid is sad all the time what they would give to provide joy to their kid. What if in actual real life you were able to have joy and peace? Like really? That's what is available to you. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's what is being offered to each of us this morning. I think every single person on this planet wants joy and peace. And the folks who don't have Christ, and sometimes even Christians, they attempt to get joy and peace through the hope of something else other than God. So if they don't believe in God, they have to find joy and peace somewhere, and they placed their hope in something other than God. In America, it's almost always money. So if I can save enough and fund my retirement and have a house and a nice car and I can live comfortably, then I will be at peace and I will have joy. How many times have people said this? But in this scenario, peace and joy are resting in the hope of what money can provide. Now, we may not say this out loud, but it's what we believe. It's what we teach our kids. I don't know any of our parents who don't say, "Kids, you need to study hard." And if the kid says, "Well, why?" Well, the reason you got to study hard is so you could get into a good college. But why is that? Well, the reason you get into a good college so you could get a good job. But why does a good job matter? So that you can live comfortably and happy. See, peace and joy are found in the hope of money or a career or comfort that comes from those things. Now, sometimes our hope is in the hope of a better job, or the hope of a better spouse, or the hope of better friends. But every one of these will fail because they don't offer real hope. They fail because they're not designed to bring about hope. Now, it's absolutely true that money brings about a measure of comfort, and our spouse a measure of companionship, and a great job, it brings about a measure of usefulness, but none of them hold hope. God alone holds hope, because if God is real, and I think that he is, and heaven is promised through Jesus, I have something truly meaningful awaiting me. For those who hope, whose hope is in the God of hope, the momentary setbacks in this life don't cause depression or darkness, because there's a hope of something better to come in the future. But it's not only in the future, it's in the now as well. You see, God's the God of hope, not only in heaven when we get there, but in the struggles of our now. He's the God of hope on earth as it is in heaven, or as he is in heaven. When you and I find ourselves in moments of depression or darkness, or when the struggles of our life seem to be overwhelming us, God promises a hope that brings about joy and peace. When we're in those negative places that sometimes we can get into in life, joy and peace are what we long for. And the enemy and our own fallen self tell me that those things are out of reach. That I'm just stuck in this darkness. That there's no way out. But the God of hope sings a different tune. He fills us. Like, that's his job. It's his gift. He fills us with joy and peace. So that's the first movement of our passage, that the God of hope fills us with joy and peace. Then the same hope overflows by the power of the Holy Spirit, seen in the second part of our verse today. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit activates hope in God, and it triggers a tsunami of hope so that it overflows from within. It's something like this video here. I love that video from Mark Rober. He's the same guy who does those Porch Pirate glitter bomb stuff. So thanks a lot for that. That's so cool. That is what overflow looks like. Overflow means the thing I have spills out and becomes obvious. Now, we all overflow something. There's something that spills out of each of us where other people will see it and it affects them. Out of the overflow of our mouth speaks. And this verse tells us that through the Holy Spirit, it can be hope that overflows from us. It means first that we would have hope filled to the brim of our internal cup, that our spiritual cup would be full to the max with hope, and then that hope would overflow because it's more than our own cup can handle. We have got so much hope that it spills out all on other people. The Christian life is characterized by an overflowing of hope no matter the circumstances. And not just a small amount or just enough to get by. We need not ration our hope or think that it will disappear or run out. Overflowing hope is available to every one of us who call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, because He sends His Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Now, if my cup overflows, then joy and peace will spill out on all over those that are around me. The Holy Spirit overflows hope in us and to us and then to others. Hope leads to a life of meaning and purpose where I need not worry about my momentary circumstances or struggles. Hope, or the God of hope, frees us to live well. Doesn't that sound good? Think about it in real life. In real life, it's like this. No matter the results of an election, I can have joy and peace because my hope isn't in the governments on earth. And no matter the results of my cancer screening, I can have joy and peace because my hope isn't in my health. And no matter what the other kids at school think of me, I can have joy and peace because my hope isn't in the opinions of others. No matter the beating that I just took in the stock market earlier this week, I can have joy and peace because my hope isn't in my finances. Now, I want you to take a second and fill in your reality. What's the thing that discourages you? What's the thing right now that you're struggling with that robs you of your joy and peace, which sets itself up as a false god of hope? I'd like you to put it in this sentence. No matter whatever that struggle is, I can have joy and peace because my hope isn't in that thing. That thing's not my God. God's my God. Now, as you think about this sentence, the praise band's going to come up and we're going to close in worship together. And as we do, we're going to declare together that our hope is in the God of hope and His promises to us so that we'll navigate this life with joy and peace. It's my prayer for the lost, that they can come to know Jesus and connect with this incredible promise from Him. It's my prayer for our missionaries and our pastors, that they may know God's joy and peace found in His hope. And that's my prayer for myself. And most of all, it's my heart's desire for each of you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's do some singing.